Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
What gave you the impression that you were unwell?
No, I'm kidding. That's just a joke. I have to throw a joke in there.
Well,
I couldn't help it.
I mean, how many times have I thrown up blood? But the second time, you're thinking something's wrong.
Did you think it was something else than blood?
I had no idea what it was. I had no idea.
It's a good amount. If you're at the Will Smith level of celebrity, you go out of the country and you just don't do the show.
Correct.
Where you're talking about how you feel and everything. There's
or
just
your wife,
you know,
getting down by some other dude.
It's not cool.
It's a clinical term, Pony. Don't get upset about it.
Yes, very scientific.
Yes.
How are you doing now? You know, obviously you've gotten the definitive scare. And you don't even know what the real results are. You know you're sick, and you know you've got some health issues.
Right.
But as far as the not having any anymore, because I never thought.
I've cut it down almost by half, Mike.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Pony, you know all those compliments you were getting on Monday when you and I did the show when Oscar wasn't here, and you were getting all that love online,
yeah.
And I was showering you. Today, you're a soul-sucking tick. Thank you. I just wanted to share that. Okay?
We're back, baby.
Just wanted to share that. Really, really wanted to share that with you. Welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show, enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily blood-sucking routine for thousands of listeners. A daily routine for thousands of
listeners.
The universe
is out of balance, Mike. It was out of balance, the universe. Now we're back.
In great places like Mahonda, Zanzibar, Goleta, California, Salem, Missouri, Pueblo, Colorado, Mons, Belgium, and Boring, Maryland. The Mike O'Mara Show is on the air, and we are going to waste no time whatsoever by bringing in a surprise guest on the Mike O'Mara Show today. That was the cue. Surprise guest.
Surprise guest.
Surprise
Remember.
Guest was the cue.
Remember, we're going to get
surprise
him.
Surprise guest.
We have three things going on back here.
It's
Hang
okay.
On.
It's
He's
okay.
Coming
yeah.
in.
Relax.
He's coming in.
You need help, pal.
Relax.
Like maybe total help.
Relax.
There he is.
There we go.
Rob
Spiewak.
Yes. Rob Spiewak.
I don't know about you fellas, but the
Yay.
Vacation has been great.
Oh,
did you have
I'm
a good
sure.
time?
I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. We gave Rob an extended vacation to travel the world with his family, and we're so excited about that. And, Rob, to be perfectly honest with you, you know, I'm sure that when you heard me talking to Pony and right before we were going to go on the air, you probably haven't missed us all that much because, my
it was,
God.
There was some PTSD, and the T stands for tick.
PTSD.
But as I said, I took a vacation to a land where they play the background music too loud, Pony.
So. To you.
Anywho, it's a hey. We love
Better.
You. We welcome you back.
I miss you guys so much.
A little visit.
Miss you guys.
It has been a bit of a journey for you. Certainly not for us, but for you and.
No,
we have been there
for you guys have been you guys have been great. You've been very, very supportive, and to open up the doors to the Mike and Pony Show to me is great.
Yeah, it just I couldn't help it. It's just he was overwhelmed today with all of his tasks, and
there was an extra button.
Yeah, there was. Great to see you. You look better than I thought you'd look. To be honest with you, and I haven't zoomed you and I haven't seen
you've
you.
You've been saying that for 30 years.
No, I really haven't. I've told you when you look like right. This is strange for me to be the guy that you know has always had you know different hips being put in and diverticulitis. I mean, back in my mid 20s, I was the guy that you and Don and Buzz checked in with at the hospital.
Well, you know, one of my first intern duties was to go pick you up at home. That was like my second or third day
yeah.
because you were not able to drive. So I had to chauffeur you And you were so kind. You said, there's a big windmill near my home. I want you to stop there and buy yourself some ribs on the way home.
I did,
and that
didn't
was my, oh, that's my so introduction nice. To Red Hot and Blue. Yes.
Red mm-hmm. Hot and Blue, the windmill. Which I was never a fan, Rob. Were you a fan? I was never a fan of the franchise. The
I
rib,
thought it was okay.
Joint.
Why did you
it
send
was,
him
I
there liked. Then?
What's that?
Because he sent like him to me. A place that you hated.
Well, it was close.
It was certainly on the
turn
way.
Turn Oscar down.
Oscar, to be to fair, me. It was a right turn on the way home.
Fair enough.
So it was easy.
Go to the worst place in town. Here you go,
well, hold
kid.
Hold on. No, it was not. It was actually quite a trendy. This goes back to...
Hope you like crap.
This goes back to H.W. Bush. And it was his Lee Atwater, maybe?
I think that sounds right, yeah.
Who's long gone. And he started a rib joint, and that was, and then it got popular. And the only reason I sent him there is because it was the only place that was on his way to get back out.
Coming back from the Bay Bridge.
Because exactly. You'd get off at the windmill,
yes.
You go up the road, and it was St. Margaret's Road that I lived off of
cool.
in those days.
You told all the women you were dating at the time, right? Time to
What's
get
that?
Off at the windmill. You told all the women you were dating at that time, time to get off at the windmill.
Really get off at your windmill. So we go back a long way, but it's the roles are reversed because 2 weeks ago, after the show was done taping, Rob had a little health odyssey that he dove into, and we are all dealing with that right now. And the first question I would have is, how are you doing? How are you feeling? And then we can get into whatever you want to get into about this, because there's a lot to cover
right now,
for our listeners that are curious.
I feel it's weird. I feel just ongoing tired, which, you know, I'm not an energetic guy to begin with, as you know, but
yeah, but you're not yourself. I can tell. Yeah.
But the tired is weird. And one of the first things they diagnosed, I had internal bleeding I didn't know about, which had me quite anemic. The danger number when they test you for anemia for your hemoglobin is 7. And when I went into the ER on Wednesday going into Thursday, I was at 7.1. So I was very close to being in, like, put this guy in for transfusions and take care of him right
so
away.
So that's blood loss, and that's internal blood loss.
Yeah.
And that was the first thing that you were identified as having. Yes.
Mike, if you don't mind, and I don't mean to be, if you're comfortable with this, Rob,
I'm open book.
We've played this back in our mind when Rob walked in Wednesday afternoon and said that he's not feeling well. And what happened? Did you know that there was, like, it was going to be anything this severe?
No, I thought it was some sort of sinus headache or just something like that. And it's weird. I mean, we've worked together a long time, and I've never been to a point, I mean, outside of like a flu-like symptoms where my headache was so bad that I said, I'm caught up, but I can't do any more today. I can't focus.
You were,
my head was killing me.
You're that
so
morning. You
home.
Were fine. You were fine on the air. I didn't, were you
perfect,
feeling anything?
Mike, is the word is that you want perfect on the air.
You didn't, perfection. Yes. Perfection. You know, this health odyssey's turned you into more of a smartass, so that's good. I like that. You know, it's kind of like, that cocky thing back when Buzz came back from the hospital. But anyway,
easy now. I thought about that.
But you felt? Did you feel okay? Because I noticed nothing during taping that morning.
Wednesday's show, if you look back, was a pretty good show. We had a great talking head, and we just had a good episode. And we finished up, and Oscar and I did what we do after the show, had a little, you know, this is what we need to do today, da-da-da-da-da, and that's fine.
You weren't feeling anything at that point.
No. About noon, I started to get this headache. And I remember I got a call from my dad, and I was talking to him because he's going, nothing pressing. He's getting ready to get some back surgery because he's in pain. And I know. And outside of my mom's hip surgery, other than that, every SpeeWack is doing great. So I was talking to my dad. He says, what are you doing? I said, just battling a bad sinus headache. He said, Kathy has a headache too it's probably the change of seasons. I said, probably. But come 4 o'clock or so, probably 3:30, I just said, I can't do this. And I'm not a guy that likes to do this. I went to Oscar. I said, I'm hurting pretty bad. I'm going to go home and I will see you tomorrow. And he said, you know, we pay you.
No, I did. And I said, did not. I said,
I'm kidding. He said, go home, feel better. And I went home and I took a nap for about 2 hours. And this was the scariest thing is when I woke up, Carrie came up to check on me. She says, how's your head? I said, I'd love a couple of Tylenol or Advil or anything we got. And she got me, I think, 2 Tylenol. And I took them and I immediately threw up blood. And then I threw up blood again. And it was weird because I hadn't eaten. You know, when you throw up, you think, did I eat anything like tomatoey or red or anything that would look like blood? And it was definitely not. It was blood. And that's when Carrie said something that's one of the scariest and most sincere things she ever said to me. She said, do you think you're seizing? I said, no, I don't think I'm seizing, but I don't think I'm well. So let's get to the urgent care ASAP and get this checked out. And I went to the urgent care.
What gave you the impression that you were unwell? No, I'm kidding. That's just a joke. I have to throw a joke in there.
Well, Mike,
I couldn't help it.
I mean, yeah. How many times have I thrown up blood? But the second time, that's when you're thinking something's wrong.
Did you think it was something else than blood?
I had no idea what it was. I had no idea.
It's a good amount of now. Well, there we go.
In fairness, like, did you have a Slurpee on the way home? Like, did you not
know? Here's the weird thing is I hadn't eaten that day. Oh. I had not eaten that day. And it's not unlike me to skip breakfast. I usually try to grab something for lunch, but with my headache, I didn't feel like eating. So I said, urgent care
at this point,
yep,
right?
Yep. And they run some tests and they say, well, you're mighty dehydrated. And you've thrown up blood, and you've got things going on here that are not right, but this is not something we can really diagnose here because essentially we're a nail salon with a stethoscope. They didn't say that, but I mean, essentially that's what they are.
Is that the way you wanted to describe
it? I mean, really, it's a karate place, it's a Giant, it's a Best Buy, and it's an urgent care. And so that's, you know, that's the clientele that they're pulling.
I'm going to write that one down, though. That might be the title of the show. Nail Salon with a Stethoscope. There you go. Very exciting.
So they say, but before we can let you go by car, we need to run an EKG on your heart. And I'm looking at Carrie and I'm like, God, after all this, all I need is a ride in an ambulance. Please at least let my heart be okay. Mm-hmm. And so the heart came back okay. So they said, you're free to drive to the emergency room. And we live relatively close to the Inova Loudoun emergency room, where my mom works. And so we went there, and they admitted us, and they started running tests. And they said, all of this is, first of all, your blood sugar is off the charts. And that needs to be addressed. But what we're most concerned with is every other symptom that you've talked about. And that was another thing. They said, by the way, where are your ankles? I said, how do you mean? Carrie says, he's always had big Fred Flintstone-style feet. They said, no, you are so swollen at your feet. And I, you know, that's not something you look for.
That's scary, too, to see.
I've been pointing that out for years.
I know.
Just for the record.
But with you, it was always because you were kind of into it.
No, I was like, what's going on with your feet?
He's taking pictures of your feet.
Yes.
You know that.
I know.
Worried as a friend. And then you would say, I have Fred Flintstone feet. I was like, I guess that's it.
But why did you submit them to that website?
The best one would have been on my family home porch.
Oh, yeah.
I do remember
that one. One of the greatest of all time.
Shot in the wild.
So you're at the ER, and this is scary stuff.
I mean, it's extraordinarily frightening, and they're running through all the stuff, and they say, do you drink? And I said, yep, a lot. And they said, well, almost all of these symptoms point to something to do with your liver. And there's not anything, we don't have the facilities here in place. We're actually building a liver complex right now. I said, where are you finding the money? We're building a liver complex right now, but we don't have it ready. you know what the name means, Mike? Inova? I know where the money is. That's how they got it.
Shtick.
So. I know where the money is.
Yeah, but Rob, just take a beat here. When you hear that, you're being so honest with our audience, and I really do appreciate that. But you're at this point in pain? What's going on? Like, how are you feeling personally?
Yeah, physically, right, physically.
Physically at this point, I feel my head is still pounding. And this is when, and this has been the same way now for a week and a half, nearly 2 weeks. I'm horrified, scared. I don't know what's going on. You know, I've had, how many times has a doctor told me or anybody, you know, you probably should cut back on your drinking, or, you know, you probably should lose weight. And you go, yep, you're right. Exactly. I probably should. And
well, specifically about that, the drinking part. And I think doctors talk about losing weight. They've identified, so they're getting into drinking and liver with you at the hospital, at the ER. And this, when you hear the connection, and you've been told this before, because I think just for total transparency here, you know, not a lot of people get that about the liver. It doesn't happen. So the weight loss, I think tons of people do. I'm not sure that it's the same thing about, you know, cut down on the drinking.
Well, I've had doctors tell me that when they say that someone tells them that they have two, three drinks a day, it invariably means, you know, four or five. So people, I think it is fairly common for people to sort of soft sell what they drink. I don't know. I was very upfront with the guy. I told him the amount that I drink, and he said,
when you went to the ER.
Yeah, and I was talking to the gastro guy that eventually would have been my doctor for the duration, and he said, well, you've got to stop. If you don't stop drinking, you're going to die. And I said, okay, so that's the first step. And he says, do you have nights where you don't drink? I said, yeah, occasionally. He says, do you ever have shakes? Do you ever have seizures? I said, I've never had that, but they did check me for it. They said, I want you to hold your hand out and see if you can hold your hand steady, because how long since you've had a drink? And I was able to tell him, you know, it had, at this point it had been 27, 28 hours or whatever, because it was way into the morning. And they said, do you have, you know, withdrawal symptoms? And no, I don't.
By the way, if I can interrupt here, just to give Rob a little prop up here, because he's tired. He's been through it. Rob, this ain't easy to do for you.
No, it's not.
I know it's not. And we had a discussion about it, and a discussion about how you wanted to handle it and whether you wanted to come and share. And I think this is, for anybody out there that might be dealing with a similar situation, this is incredibly helpful for people out there. And I just wanted to say I appreciate you being honest with you know, the whole thing with the liver and all that. But I wanted to just give you a break for a second and just say, I know this is tough for you to talk about, and I think that this is just terrific of you to be doing and sharing this, not only for people that are concerned about you, but for anybody that might be in the same world. So go ahead.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you.
And let me ask Rob, I mean, the last 2.5 years, I mean, there's already studies that have been published that are third party NIH saying that if you drink, you thought you drank a lot before, there's a lot of people, you know, they ratchet that up on next octane, seventh, eighth gear that we didn't know people had. Where were you at?
I mean, I guarantee I was drinking more. I mean, and that was something that was definitely on my mind too. And it's funny you bring it up, but to speak, I'll come to this, but I wanted to what Mike said. I mean, we joke about it, but it's true. I hate conflict. I hate seeing people unhappy. I hate to, and it's a family thing for me. You go way back. It's not the way our family is. We're not a family on either side that really talks feelings and really, you know, bust heads if we have to. And to me, that's a lot of times, especially if you're anticipating not the best news, when you go to a doctor, you're anticipating a conflict, because you're going to get yelled at. They're going to tell you what to do. They're going to tell you what you're doing wrong. I mean, I've had maybe two or three doctor visits where they said, you're doing great. And that's over 51 years. So if I can paint with one broad brush, one thing, the doctors are not there to piss you off or make you angry or work against you. Go in there and take your medicine and talk to that doctor and listen to them. Because if I had 5 years ago, 10 years ago, whatever, it would have saved me a tremendous amount of fear that I'm still dealing with and discomfort. Okay. And also the trying to, you know, make small, pleasant talk with my wife, who has been a saint, and my mom, who has been a saint, and my dad, who has been through the whole diabetic journey, and he sees this going on. And, you know, it's, you can still be an older guy, which I am, but they're still your folks. You're still their kid. And you just, it's so scary. And it's so, and I don't want to make it selfish, but you feel like you've disappointed them. And because, you know, you can do whatever you want to yourself. That's your, what you do. But that's what's hardest for me, is that when I see the fear and the sadness in them, and I won't say disappointment, but worry, certainly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, so there's that. So go to the doctor, folks. Listen to the advice. Take their advice.
So you're at the ER. They they have identified a connection to drinking and liver. You've had a history where doctors have spoken to you about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is serious. They say everything that's been going on is pointing to that. Where do we go from here? What happens after that?
They did some initial blood work. They did two endoscopies on me, where they actually, by the way, that Michael Jackson propofol stuff is amazing. They put me under that with that twice, and it's, I mean, I don't want to blame
your
him.
Life.
It is, and what's so crazy is you don't wake up feeling like you've been drugged, yeah. But also no time passes.
You're refreshed.
It's like you, it's so. So what they did is they found a lot of the internal bleeding that was in my upper GI by treating it with a gentle diet for a week or so and acid reducers. The upper GI bleeding stopped, and they checked that twice. That was one of the reasons for the endoscopy. But there was, and this is, I hope everyone's having a delightful breakfast. I had a huge blood clot in my stomach. And the doctor said, quote, he said, well, I went in and we essentially power washed your stomach and sucked all the stuff out, but we couldn't get to the clot. So you are going to have to pass it. Thank you. That was nice. But that took a few days. But have you ever seen them tar a road?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That's
all. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say.
We could have passed on that one. That's wonderful.
They did.
Getting back to the whole, they're identifying the upper GI stuff and the clot and all this to a liver. There's a connection with the liver.
There is a connection.
The liver's not doing what it's supposed to do, so that's why the upper GI's got some problems. That's the way I understood it when I was talking to you and your wife.
Exactly. The blood is not going through the liver. It's not headed where it should head.
Okay.
And essentially, it's making too much blood pressure in the upper GI, and that's what caused the bleeding. Right now, no bleeding. I had a follow-up with it's always nice. You know how doctors have their diplomas framed on their wall when you go into their office? I actually went to the worst doctor ever yesterday, which was great to see the certificate on the wall. And he was just
He had a certificate
terrific.
That said, worst doctor ever?
Worst doctor ever, yeah. It was really nice. It was signed by
you were talking before the show. That's the only bad one you've ever gone to. I mean,
process, he was bad.
Right?
Oh, no, I also had one bad nurse who couldn't figure out how to turn out the lights in my room. And when you want to go to sleep at night, I would take a knife to the head. There's all so right. much to talk about. Anyhow, most of the people I encountered were great. So everything is right now okay. Hopefully today I'll get some initial blood results on ammonia levels and stuff that's related to the liver.
Okay.
That will point them in the right direction. There's almost no doubt there has been sun damage to the liver. Whether or not it is severe or advanced, we don't know yet. That remains to be seen. And
so there's the elephant
and
in the
this
room
is,
right here.
That's what's the scariest thing of all. Going to be literally weeks before I get any sort of, at least the beginning of closure. I just got to, you know, do
or clarity,
the best
I can. On what you're going to do. Let's talk about right now, because you're in, you haven't gotten definitive word on where you are with this, which is a terrifying way to live, because you're not sure how bad the liver is, you know, how far along it is. You know, this has been going on for a long time. I remember you referencing a visit to the doctor years, I don't know how many years it was ago, where a doctor was giving you some word about your liver. That's a long time ago, right?
Yeah.
A fatty liver, like how long ago?
That was probably 12, at least 12 years ago.
15 years ago.
I couldn't give you an exact date. And his prescription for that was vitamin E. And to, you know, he never said stop. He just said back off on your drinking if you can. And I said, okay. But, you know, you just sometimes you feel indestructible sometimes. You feel like you can do it and you can't. You just can't
get away with it.
Right? May I clarify here that at no time, maybe I'm out of bounds, so you can tell me to kick rocks. I know you have no qualms doing that. I think that there's a space between people not listening to their doctors, and then, if I may be frank, like being in the grips of a disease.
Where you get into a habit.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
Where do you, I mean, here's the thing all three of us have shared a love of going out and pounding a few.
Sure.
And we've done it together. And we've done it around our jobs. Yeah. We have done it around our social lives.
Mm-hmm. We've been celebrated for it.
It's been a part of the show. It's been people who get a kick out of it. As far as day to day and what we do here, what we do there, as the years have gone on, it really hasn't been. You were never in a situation where I was aware on any level. Of you, I might have referenced the fact that did you have a night, but I don't even remember doing that. I just would be, are you tired? If you can tell, what were we talking about on average to you know, to be in this situation, it was not always the same, right, Rob?
No. But right now, I think, you know, towards the last, I would say the last year of the pandemic is probably a handle of vodka a week.
That's a lot of booze. It's a lot of hard liquor.
That's a lot of booze. That's a lot of hard liquor. And you know what? When I started when I was 21, I was, you know, it was beer. And then, you know, wine. And then an occasional cocktail. And then I
was
found
it,
the old-fashioned.
Now, my generation, and I think yours to an extent, it was a binging situation where I would wait for the weekend. And then I owned a bar. And then the weekend became,
two or three
nights.
We're a little different. I was more of a ritual drinker. It was just part of my night.
So this was, and you would do that from your 20s? You would be kind of a nightly
Every night, yeah.
Every night.
Come home, crack something open, and have it, you know, before dinner. And, you know, sometimes it'd be more than others, and sometimes it'd be less than others, but it was almost always something. And
I remember Beck's a long time ago. Beck's beer. You'd buy your Beck's beer. And when did it make the or was it back and forth? I'm just curious.
It's always been back and forth. I mean, up till recently, I've always thought that beer was more of a summertime beverage, and you know, cocktails more of a wintertime beverage.
Okay, it's the way you processed it, right?
Yeah, and it's just the way it was. It was part of a ritual, and not a healthy one, not a good one. And a ritual tends to reinforce itself sometimes. And that's not good. But
how are you? How are you doing now? You know, obviously you've gotten the definitive scare, and you don't even know what the real results are. You know you're sick, and you know you've got some health issues.
Right.
But as far as the not having any anymore, because I never thought.
I've cut it down almost by half, Mike.
I just don't see you as
60%.
There's functioning. There's high functioning. Have you had any feelings of withdrawal at all? Like some people that are really in the throes of this, you wouldn't wake up in the morning and pour yourself a screwdriver to get into work. It never entered the work realm, did it? Unless we were having a party on the show,
unless it was part of work.
It was in the evening at home and usually by yourself, right?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, the people running around, but yeah, I mean, it's not like I sat down and had a drink with somebody, but I mean, the kids would be here or
they'd be in your house, but you're basically doing this.
Are you drinking alone is what we're asking.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
that's what
yeah.
it is.
And that's
people in your orbit
that's
don't
a,
count.
That's a not. That's again not a great thing. So as far as withdrawal, nothing. They gave me a. There is a vitamin. Like a, it's a big yellow IV. They called it the banana bag. That's not the technical name, but it's called a banana bag. And they said, we're going to give you this. This helps with any sort of shakes or withdrawals or anything, but we're not seeing any evidence of that. They didn't see any, like, you know, evidence of jaundice or anything, you know, that yellowing of the eyes. They said, you look pale. That probably has more to do with the fact that we've taken, you know, that you're down to about half the blood you should have. As far as that, no, no seizures, nothing like that. And as far as withdrawal, no. And obviously this has been, and I said this, I've had a lot of time to think. I had a pretty good run for 30 years. Of doing pretty much what I wanted to do, drinking what I wanted to drink, eating what I wanted to eat, getting by, fooling everybody, maybe not everybody, but getting by. And, you know, if 51 is a great time to turn things around. And I can do it. I mean, I've done things like this before. I've done the diets. I've done the stuff like that before. It's just that this is going to be one where it's not going to be a six-month program, or in 8 months, I'm not going to celebrate my weight loss by actually coming home and making caramel, which I did once.
You did.
Wait,
I remember that. I remember that. Yeah.
But I'm not. But this is a lifestyle change, and it's going to have to be. And as far as where we're going to be with the future of my liver, fingers crossed. Keep me in your thoughts. Hope it's okay. Hope it's not severe. Hope it's something that can be corrected with lifestyle and medication and stuff like that. But that is so out of my hands right now, I can't say a thing.
The not knowing, I would be climbing the walls. You don't know yet.
You entered my mind. I said, I'm out of my mind right now. Mike would be ripping drywall down if he was in this situation, because the not knowing is...
And welcome to the, you know, living in an area where would I be accurate in saying the healthcare system is a tad overburdened when it's tough to see the... I mean, I remember it from being DC down here in Southwest Florida. It's the same thing. It's really,
the
really
fact
hard
that
to get.
Upon a hospital discharge, that it was hard to find within 6 days a doctor to sign off on blood work. Think about that.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It is. And
I'm not going to focus on the bigger, I'm not going to focus on the big problem right now.
It's got to take a day by day.
I got other fish to fry, but, it throws you right in the middle of it and you really realize where you're at.
So, are you early? Last couple of questions, because I know you're tired, yeah, and we appreciate you coming in on this.
This is very, you know, very brave of you, man.
It's really, really been, in a way, I shouldn't say this, but I am going to say this, because
say
I want to be optimistic about this situation, and I just do, and I want to be optimistic about your health future, and part of me is, and I know that there's a long way to go, but I really, really think that it's frustrating to me to, you know, to hear what you're going through with the availability of doctors, getting in appointments, because I wish I could jump in and control that some way. But the question I have for you is, right now, with the, you know, with even the short period of time, the 2 weeks that you haven't had you know, any of the alcohol in your system, and they've treated some of your symptoms that have been along with this, and there's a diabetes factor as well. That's but that's been going on for a while, right? That's been
they've got me on some insulin, which my dad has been my greatest cheerleader, because my dad has been insulin dependent as almost as long as I can remember. He knew exactly the brand.
So it kind of runs in the family with
the
that.
Applicator. Yeah, I have it on both sides, actually.
Okay.
As far as the application of the needle, which is actually a pen, it's easy. It's just, and you check your blood sugar twice a day and you keep an eye on it. That's right now, that is almost a non-issue for me.
That's so just going from 2 weeks ago when you were in dire straits, you know,
yeah.
if that had kept on and you hadn't had any medical treatment, God knows what could have happened. So going from how you felt at that particular time, being the you know, the low point, the one of the situation, and then taking it to the last time you really felt good, where are you now on that scale? Are you feeling better than when you first went into the hospital physically?
I am feeling better physically. There's still like just a tiredness. I feel there's a feeling that comes, I think, when you have not quite enough blood, where you're just you can get up, you can do things, and then all of a sudden it's like, okay, I've got to be done doing this now. I mean, I remember at the lowest point when my anemia was at its worst, and I was just killing time at the hospital, couldn't sleep. Lone nighttime, and I was going to play solitaire, and I had actually a deck of cards because I'm old school like that,
right?
And I was shuffling a deck of cards. It's one of the things that actually kind of calms me down. And I said, God, my fingers are tired. I mean, just shuffling a deck of cards, that's the kind of weariness that you're dealing with. However, when I get in there and I see now that my blood pressure is, and I take it twice a day, is textbook perfect. And my blood sugar is textbook perfect. And Carrie has loaded the fridge with stuff that is exactly what I need to keep my blood sugar right. And I can, you know, learn a new way to do it. And knowing that there is, if not a destination, at least a roadmap to begin, that makes you feel good. And that mental focus is good. I'll never feel great until I know exactly where I'm at and what the end
that's psychological
is.
With that,
and that's, I think, very
physically
psychological.
I hear more of the physical manifestation of this physically in your voice than I do in looking at you. I don't think you look that bad. And I think that I hear how tired you are when you talk. Heard it on the phone. It's been that way for a while. But I also think that that's, correct me if I'm wrong, that's a bit of sad, Rob, as well, because you just don't know what the f*** is going on yet because of the overburdened medical system. That's where we check in with Oscar, who you've talked to your family members about this, and yep, you're going to try to hopefully advocate for Rob.
I'm already working with Carrie behind the scenes to...
And Rob, your wife is a saint.
All jokes aside.
Tell me about it. Tell me about it.
She's been there. You know, she had the burden of talking to all of us and keeping us posted as to where you are. Am I overstepping, Oscar, if I would say anybody that's out there in radio land that may have an entree into somebody to get? Rob's, here's where we are right now. Rob knows what the underlying condition is. He's been treated for it. He's waiting, and it's taking a longer time than it should, in my opinion and in your opinion, Oscar, to get the doctor who can assess his liver, assess where he is, so we can get the plan started, you know, so he gets all the information he needs to know. I am talking about the fact that when I hear this, this is a family member of mine that I'm listening to talking about his journey. And the only thing I have is this, to go out to the world. If you know somebody that can help, I really would love to have some people reach out and just say, hey, I know a certain person. Rob, would it be would even a phone call be warranted at this time? Or, yeah, I mean, this
anything
is ultimately your call.
Anything. I am so reachable on social media.
Let me jump back in.
Anything
then.
You can
I'm
do.
Glad. Because I'm glad you're saying that. Because right now, this is the power of this show, which has a hell of a lot of power. We've built orphanage schoolhouses in Haiti. Mm-hmm. We have supported this show when it was down to a gasp level, because we have this passionate group of people in our audience.
Matt Bloom to Japan.
Very close.
We almost sent Matt Bloom to Japan.
Very close.
If you know somebody that knows, we got a lot of medical people out in this audience, especially even in the Northern Virginia area. Rob could use a few advocates as well. Oscar's got his family members, and he's got a connection at GW University. Right. I'm not sure. I want to put everybody out on notice with that.
Yeah,
if
not,
he can help our boy. We're not talking about needs a GoFundMe page or anything.
No,
he
no,
needs
no, no, no,
a doctor.
No, no.
He needs a doctor right
and
now.
Just an in. All I want is an in. That's it, please.
Yeah.
The context is not just doctor based. It's like there's got to be somebody that's gone through this in our listening audience with a family member, or like any clarity, any support,
advocacy.
Like it's we're gonna get you a doctor's appointment sooner than. Yeah, the first one I
that's
heard from
all
Carrie
we want.
August.
I don't think it's a big ask.
Yes.
No, I don't think it's a big ask at all. And we have doctors in our audience as well that can help out and reach out. Here's what I don't here's what I can guarantee you, double A, that Rob doesn't need. Rob doesn't need any speculators, any opinion people. He doesn't need that. Yeah. What he needs is people who are connected to the medical biz, and to get what we are asking for literally is to get an entree into a doctor. It could probably at the you know, at the lowest end be a regular general practitioner, or that has experience with this, or perhaps a specialist. Rob, as far as the liver, and you know better than I do, the type of doctor that you need to see at this stage of the game is a gastroenterologist.
Yeah, exactly.
A gastroenterologist.
And I do want to, while you say, when we talk about the network we're connected to,
yeah,
I have been quite literally overwhelmed with the, you know, the modicum of information that you guys have just said that essentially I'm not well, that so many people have reached out, and I've tried to reply to most of them. Thank you guys so much. And to Paulie, Christine, I really appreciate the fact that you want to get me on the reality show, My 600-Pound Liver. I'm going to pass. That's not true.
Paulie, Christine, bada bing, but bada boom.
And also just every member of my family, and to Carrie, who has been a saint, who when she sort of almost throttled me the other night and said, come on, man, you're going to have to walk Julia down the aisle.
Rob, I said, okay. I believe you're going to do it. And I know you're at, going through a tough time, and you know, I hope you know, even before this broadcast, based on conversations we have had and you have had with Oscar, that that we have your back on this.
I know
that, you know. I know.
The only thing that I was worried about was making the Zoom call work today.
No, Pony tried to ruin that.
Yeah, he really did, because that's
well. There was there was some internal bleeding. Yes. Also, the last thing I wanted to say is I've had so much time. I've had a lot of chance to read a lot of newspapers and stuff like that. Have you heard about this Chris Rock Will Smith thing?
We wish you were here for that.
Oh,
you know,
man.
And then you know your buddy gets the rotavirus, and I'm in here, and I'm down too.
When, oh, that, and by the thing, way, that was
as Oscar said, the biggest pop showbiz culture story in 3 or 4 years. And I wish I'd had all my guys with me to talk.
Oscar,
about that.
Oscar needed the attention because everyone was talking about me. So
let me reiterate of our first. First of all, thank you for coming in. You know, the way
well, thank you for having me, guys.
Your timetable.
This isn't.
As far
this
as
is
this,
not fun. This is not fun for anybody.
But it's still. But it's. I found it. I have found it a little uplifting, and I hope you have too. Just to get it off
I
your
have.
Chest here, and I'm going to look. We have to get the assessment of where you are. That's the not knowing. Holy magoli. Help our guy out here. That's what I'm saying. And, there are a lot of people that can do this, you know?
What
the other
I
people know what's going on.
It's not like waiting 2 or 3 days for a test. I was in there on St. Patrick's Day, and I don't know any more about my liver than I did on St. Patrick's Day.
Okay.
So I just want to know.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, and that's,
I know there's
and that's valid.
I know there's someone up there. And you guys
so glad that it's taken
supportive.
This turn. That we're going to use this, and hopefully Oscar, you know, Oscar's been working his ass off. Oscar is a type
I know,
A of type
oh,
A's.
He's the best.
And
the
hopefully
best.
We will, you know, we will get there. And, well, you know,
and,
I, go
but
ahead.
Rob is, you should take some, I know this is crazy to say, but you should go easier on yourself. Like, this is not.
Well, I have for the last half century.
No, I'm serious. Like, this is, it's easy to, you're not disappointing that we're here as family. We're here to support you.
Rob, I have known you more than, you know, longer than anybody here. I've known you longer than your wife.
All your wives combined.
All my wives combined. And thank you for me. You just can't miss that opportunity, you prick. But anyway, let me just tell you, I have, and I'm being sincere, because you know, I don't pull any punches with you on any level, on air or off air. And I know that right now it's overwhelming. I have tremendous, on this front, I have tremendous faith in you that this situation, this scare, had to be real for you to take action. I have more than enough faith in you to take action. Do I think, you know, you should get help in the journey? Yeah, maybe. But I also think you're pretty good at routine. You're pretty good at knowing the ropes for something and then getting her done. And I think you're like me, and where I would be in a situation like this more than any is you just want to know, where do I stand with this? Please give me big, and then once that
let
comes,
let me know my opponent. You know, that's what I want to know.
You're also like me that when that time comes, that you might say, if there is a sigh of relief to be breathed here, that you know, the old demon can slip back in, and I think you're smart enough to know that as well. So I get the, you know, as far as the drinking thing and the stopping, I have tremendous faith in you with that. If you need to get help, we've availed, you know, the show to help you with that situation. What you need right now is to get into the right doctor, to get this thing identified so we know where you are. And I think that we can do that. We can get that done. And I think you've started, obviously, by eliminating the alcohol. And for people that are going through this, if your doctor's telling you you've got a fatty liver, or your doctor's telling you your blood work has flagged an issue on your liver, don't take it lightly, please. Take it lightly. This did, look,
it's not going to correct itself.
I could see this sneaking up on anybody. You know, my wife, God love her, has me, you know, you've scared her as well. She's got me going to, apparently, the nutritionist from hell coming up. You're going to do this for a lot of people that might be questioning, hey, do I have a problem or not? But for now, for our boy, and what Oscar needs, what I need, what Rob needs, what Carrie needs, what Julia needs, what Robert III needs, what Bob needs, HBS, and what Sharon needs, is to get him not in the friggin' Northern Virginia 2-month line for a specialist, but get him moved to the front of the line just to see a doctor.
Yeah.
There are 20 minutes after the last patient is taken where a guy can come in there and help you out. And that's what I want to see happen.
I got an ENT that if you are in crisis, he'll open the office at 7 in the morning. He says, yeah. I've got, you know, I mean,
and there's,
I'll come
and there
in
has
early
to be
if you come
a
in
GI
early.
Guy. You know, there has to be a GI guy out there. And, you know, that's where we are with that. Thank you so much for sharing this. I hope.
Wait a minute. I love you guys. You have been.
We love you too.
To call you supportive is the understatement of a century. The first words, I mean, starting with the headache, was Oscar, feel better. And then Thursday night or Wednesday night, I call Oscar. I said, I don't think I'm going to be at work tomorrow. He says, just take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's been the whole deal. We built this industry, this show, this business from the bottom up. And it kills me not to be a part of it each and every day, but you guys have made it so easy to focus on what's in front of me. And that's
and the technology helps too, that we can have a visit with you now too.
That's easy feat. Thank you to everyone who has checked in. This is a life changer, and one that really makes you reexamine where you're at. And I appreciate you letting me come in. There's so much more to talk about. The password is catheter. Mm. So we will get to
right.
that.
So next time you come in, some of the that is the third time you have mentioned that to me.
Mike, Foley I tell catheter. You why because yes, it because it ain't great. And wasn't that your old DJ name?
Foley catheter. That's when I did weekend evenings. I did a Saturday night show. Hey everybody, how you doing? It's Foley catheter with you. Listen. We will talk about that the next time you visit. Rob's going to be popping in on his schedule when he can. There's no timetable for you know, for him right now, because there are priorities, as you know, by listening to this segment. We love you. We are for you. I have faith in you that we're going to have you around for a long time. I want you to get the answers you need and not have to go into this BS Northern Virginia waiting game with these doctors that are just so overloaded. And I'm not blaming the doctors. I'm blaming
there's
dirt.
There's also a huge backlog. So
there's,
we got to get them in the appointment.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So hang in there, and we'll probably
check
in
with you. And if you have any faith at all, please, please pray for Carrie. She needs it. She is so sick of the show Columbo right now, she wants to kill me. But I am up to season 4.
Okay, very good. Very good. If you want to watch something that really under the banner of HBO, but really, as my wife said, is just plain soft porn, Euphoria. Euphoria on HBO.
God,
two seasons
of it. I love
available.
It. That is the funniest
you watch
show.
It too? Okay.
It's the funniest show
funny?
On TV.
Okay.
I love it. It's just like looking at Seinfeld.
Okay, yeah. A laugh riot. Fantastic.
Feel better.
Rob,
man.
We love you. Feel better. We'll check in with you
love
soon.
You guys.
And thank you for
soon.
The update. We appreciate All that. Right. All right. Get him out of here. Go back and lie down. Take a nap, for Christ's sake. We'll take a break and we'll come back with the homepage. You are listening to the, we're late now, but we knew we would be. Mike O'Mara Show.
Are you a 40-something year old chick going through a midlife crisis? Looking to get some validation for keeping it tight all these years? Would you like to be TikTok famous? Let's get you a starter pack. You know the drill. MichaelMaraShow.com. Shopping. Walmart. Let's get started with some ripped denim shorts and a new bikini top. Self-tanner, volumizing conditioner, fake tattoos, and most importantly, a selfie light ring. Throw in a tube of Ben Gay for after you shake your ass on camera. You're not in your 20s anymore, sweetheart. Pretty soon, you're going to have thousands of creeps just like Oscar Santana following you.
What?
And you did it all thanks to the Walmart tab on the TMY Shopping Center. And now, back to the guy who's never been on TikTok, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you. Thank you, guy. Whoever you are. In an anticipated move, the Fed has raised rates for the first time since December 2018. In attempts to get inflation under control. So what does this mean to you? While the days of ultra-low rates may be behind us, the days of saving money are right now.
Right now.
Consumer COVID debt is still at all-time highs. And with home equity, the highest it's been in 45 years, you can take cash out for any reason, and it may be tax-deductible. Do yourself a favor. Whether it's a purchase or refinance, call my good friend Mark Livingstone and his team at where? Cornerstone First Financial. The spring housing market has kicked off, and with limited inventory and droves of people coming off the sidelines, believe me when I say you want Cornerstone First in your corner. With their no obligation rate quote and 100% satisfaction guarantee, why would you call anyone else? Call Cornerstone First Financial, the friend of the TMOS listener, 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com. Before we hit the news thing, actually, we'll do a real super quick post on the segment
news.
We have. I feel good. I feel good, Oscar, today. I really do. I feel as though, our boy, that was 45, 50 minutes of time. I didn't know if he'd last 15 because he's been so depleted. So I hope we got the right message out. I know we didn't do a lot of talking ourselves there. What's your take on everything?
For those of you that have called and I wasn't able to say why or how Rob was doing, I just said, he's not doing well, and hopefully we'll have more information. And that's the people that have reached out to me, which has been, frankly, over 50 easy. And these aren't just listeners, these are people in our own orbit, in our lives. It's hard. It's hard because even if you know, the best case scenario isn't the greatest scenario. And you're there for what you feel like is your brother, and you're there for his family, and as the elephant in the room, I guess, outside of what we're discussing now, is that you've got Carrie, who is not alone, but she's just one person trying to navigate what she can, and we're doing everything we can on our end. So it's overwhelming. That's how.
And it was nice to have an opportunity to use this. And for him, we were gonna, above all else, you and I planned, and we discussed it with Rob, that We think it would be a good idea to share this. He didn't even hesitate. There wasn't even a moment of hesitation. I want to. And then what I realized even during that discussion was that, well, hell, now that we're out, now that we know everything's going on,
now, we can tell people what's going on.
We can tell people what's going on and maybe get somebody out there to get into a GI person.
Like somebody could be the guy. We have a great
could be the guy to help him.
We have great inroads, and I'm very confident of what we can get at GW within the next 2 weeks.
Yeah,
but I feel like 2 weeks is too long still.
Yeah, I don't want him to go through that for 2 weeks. Yeah. I'd like him to. So hopefully there's someone out there, and people care. And if they're not, well, you know, you're pulling some strings where you can. I've lived this with another friend of mine, much younger than Rob. Rob is not from from everything I said. He's a very sick man right now dealing with this liver situation, but at the same time. I can only say my observation on this, and I think he has been very serious in the way he's handled this. He knows, and I have, that's the part I have faith in. So right now, where are we? We're at the how much damage has been done? Where are we with this? And what can we do to improve the situation right now? And that's the big deal. And hopefully we can all pull together and get there. I feel as though he certainly gets it, and it's tough for him, but I think we're going to come out on the other side and hopefully get some clarity, and then step two, which is get everybody back on track. And
my greatest concern is the live show.
Thank you very much. That's it. Yeah, absolutely. People are concerned about that. It was a good out. I needed that to transition so we could catch up. We have to take another break. Now we will come back with not Soundtown. Come on, Michael. Get your act together. Don't yell at Pony. Come on. Pay attention. The homepage coming up right after this. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Get well, Rob Spiewak.
Welcome to Subway. May I take your order?
I suppose so. You look poor, but I want something large to feed many of my friends. I have lots of powerful friends.
How about a 6-foot party sub?
6-foot is so last year. I want a 7-foot sub. All imported meats and cheeses with caviar and 20-carat gold flake.
I'm not sure we can do that.
I find it funny that you would employ that pedophile Jared as a spokesman, but you can't honor my simple request. Why do you dress that way?
It's my uniform.
It's ugly. I hate it.
We can make your sub, but we'll need the money up front.
No problem. Here we go. Here's my Hooters Breast Advantage MasterCard.
We don't take that.
Citibank Foreign National Mileage Card.
That either.
Diners Club Vintage Yummy Card.
That's a no.
Texaco Visa Card.
No.
First National Bank Con Woman Discover Card.
No.
My Kohl's Secret Shopper.
No.
My Target America's Most Wanted Card.
No.
My Kmart Frequent Shopper Card.
No.
My BP International Oil Spill VIP Card.
Declined.
What if I put a $100 bill in the tip jar?
Do you have a $100 bill?
No. I want that sandwich. By the way, would you like to buy an app?
Anna Delvey, the only person who can't shop at the TMOS Shopping Center. But you can. Target and Walmart. Stock up now for your trip to Morocco at MikeOMaraShow.com.
You want to get that promo? You got to watch the show Inventing Anna. It's simple as that. That's the way it goes. Hey, hard to imagine, but spring is almost here. And if you want soft grass under your feet, you'll need your lawn back. Sunday gets your grass growing and keeps it healthy all season long. Their custom plans include fertilizer and everything you need to easily care for your lawn. And with ingredients like seaweed, iron, and molasses. Molasses? Even a lawn can say, ooh, sweet. You can feel good with kids and pets being around all the time. All you have to do is visit GetSunday.com, put in your address, and their lawn analysis tool does the rest. They use soil and climate data to create a personal nutrient plan delivered to your door when you need it. Just attach the ready-to-use pouch to a garden hose and spray. It takes less than 15 minutes. Best of all, the stuff really works. I've attached it to my garden hose. It sounded dirty. I've used it. I know. Sunday can help you grow a beautiful lawn without the guesswork or the nasty chemicals. And Sunday is offering our listeners 20% off full season plans. Start at just $129. And you can get 20% off at checkout when you visit GetSunday.com/TMOS20. That's 20% off your custom plan at GetSunday.com/TMOS20.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know.
This is the homepage.
This is the homepage, and Will Smith has been called out a million times for slapping Chris Rock at the Oscars, but more people should be calling out the Hollywood elite for celebrating Will moments later when he won Best Actor. That's what Jim Carrey said yesterday in an interview with Gayle King. Carrey said, quote, "I was sickened by the standing ovation. Hollywood is just spineless en masse. And it really felt like this is a really clear indication that we aren't the cool club anymore." Got to agree with him. Mm-hmm. He also called the slap itself a selfish moment, saying it cast a shadow over everyone's night, especially the winners, who worked hard for their shining moment. He said Will should have been escorted out of the ceremony and Chris should sue him for $200 million. Because, quote, listen to this justification for that. "That video is going to be there forever. It's going to be ubiquitous. That insult is going to last a very long time." I can't disagree with anything he's saying. Although I don't want the, you know, I want it gone. I want the closure. I want the acceptance of the apology. Move on. Still, Jim wishes Will the best. He says, quote, "I have nothing against Will Smith. He's done great things." But he was pissed off, obviously, at the situation there when it happened.
Yeah, it's... This entire situation has not aged well because... You're looking back at a body of work that he's done so much, and this is like the pinnacle of what would have been and continues to be, you know, a powerful, very just it's been his rise to fame has been so well documented, from pop star to actor to Academy Award winner. And D.L. Hughley on his radio show yesterday, Mike, said it's tough to be a celebrity in a world where people must know everything. But as a celebrity, you have to be cognizant, especially this is referring to the Red Table Talk, that the show that the Smith family has, that you don't have to give the ammunition to the world in the long run. You don't have to give them the clubs and the knives and the weapons to use against you. And if you give them those weapons, you have to be prepared to endure the struggle.
And what a struggle it's going to be. What a struggle it is right now.
Because we haven't even touched on the entanglement side of this conversation.
Right. On the Chris Rock side, sell out more of those shows, Chris.
I think he's
going to
sue. I think he's going to sue.
Do you think he's going to sue?
I don't know how you can stay this quiet after that.
Yeah, if he had responded quickly with a response to the apology, it might have been a different situation. He didn't press charges, but it's going to be interesting to see how
it plays out.
Or there's
a secret handshake at some agency that says, here's $100 million. We're going to drop it to you, $10 million in a 10-year payment plan.
Do you think, though...
$10 million a clip.
There's no way that that Chris Rock can keep that out of his act. I mean, you just can't. I mean, you can't do that. We'll see what happens. This is maybe the response we're waiting for. Wow, that's right. First show. Where's he doing his show?
I think it's in New York.
Okay. All right. That's interesting. Get the Netflix cameras out there right away. The NFL is finally changing its overtime rules so that each team is guaranteed one possession, but only during the postseason. All right. God, come on. During the regular season, the team that gets the ball first can still end the game with a touchdown. That's the way the rule was. The Indianapolis Colts and Philly Eagles proposed the rule change for all games, including the regular season, but there wasn't enough support among owners for that. So they compromised and made it postseason only. Yeah, because it's too much on the coin toss when you can win a game by marching down and scoring a touchdown. Should always give the other team a chance to come back. I think it gets both sides of the ball involved in the game.
I think the compromise is great in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the conversation we've had in the past when we've seen close games that go to that single overtime, one-sided play where you should have won it in regulation.
I agree. Postseason, you know, we're more willing to have those 9-hour football games that we'll be getting now with that new rule.
Fair.
HBO Max is going to develop an It prequel series. It is very popular in American culture. This will be called Welcome to Derry. It's going to take place in the 60s and will lead up to the events of the 2017 movie It Chapter One, which is set in 1989. It'll include the origin story of both the town and Pennywise The Dancing Clown. The director of the two It movies is going to executive produce, so it's got that going for it. But no word if the man himself, Stephen King, will be involved in any way. But that'll be fun. I think that'd be something I might
And it's also the tripling down on a franchise that continues to live and entice and entertain.
Yeah, it does. And I keep my kid away from it, too, because it is so scary. You know. Oh, hey, what a great opening. Have that kid in a raincoat getting his arm chopped off. Anyway, this isn't exactly a surprise. The Foo Fighters have canceled their upcoming shows following Taylor Hawkins' passing. They issued a statement saying, quote, "It is with great sadness that Foo Fighters confirm the cancellation of all upcoming tour dates in light of the staggering loss. We're sorry for and share in the disappointment that we won't be seeing one another as planned. Instead, let's take this time to grieve, to heal, to pull our loved ones close, and to appreciate all of the music and memories we've made together." In addition to their upcoming shows, they were also scheduled to perform at the Grammys Sunday night. I don't think that's happening either, so who can blame them for that? I totally get that situation.
I don't think you know this. I've met Taylor Hawkins, and, you know, not to put a spin on, be dark or disrespect what we talked about at the beginning of the show, I've had multiple adult beverages with Taylor Hawkins as a younger man in my WHFS days.
Really?
Because you could never get next to Dave Grohl. I had two dalliances with Dave Grohl as a young weekend DJ, promotions guy, jack of all trades at HF festivals.
Right.
But with Taylor, like, he was approachable. So that's backstage having beers, like sitting at a table with Taylor Hawkins.
That is so cool.
I was in New York that the one time where, you know, I learned the hard way that you can't stay up all night and make it to work in D.C. after staying in New York all night on time. I spent the majority of the evening sitting next to him, just like the nicest person in the effing world.
Oh, well, everybody's saying that, and that is so cool. I didn't know you had a personal experience with him. That's very
so
cool.
Nice.
Yeah, nice like, guy. Everybody's
saying
that.
He never made you feel like I'm in the Foo Fighters. Hey, you with the backwards visor and the HFS t-shirt, get out of my booth.
You know, between that story and hearing what Rob's going through and watching my new favorite show, Euphoria, Jesus Christ, Substances. Mm. Honest to God, you know? Just have some Wheaties and just go about your day, you know? Maybe an occasional Diet Coke, but not that either. Anyway, it sucks. If you see the presidential jet of Mexico, you might think it's a symbol of Mexican leadership, patriotism, importance, and luxury, since it costs more than $200 million. But it might just be a symbol that some really, really rich people are getting married. And there's a baller in there, in that plane. Here's the deal. The previous Mexican president splurged on the jet. It's become a huge expense. The current regime doesn't want it. They've been trying to sell it, but there haven't been any takers. This week, Mexican President Andres Manuel López Obrador said to cover its upkeep, they're now making it available to rent out for things like weddings, parties, or elaborate quinceañeras.
Sweet 15.
For the Sweet 15, yeah. Thankfully, he didn't mention gender reveal parties, which is good. That would have immediately started a war. It's unclear how much it costs to rent the jet, and we're assuming the Mexican authorities will be flying the thing. So that's you can rent the Mexican jet.
The jets, it's been an albatross. They got to do something. I think barring the producers of the Bang Bus, maybe they could do the Bang Bus Takes Flight. And renting it out for a month. Like, it's never going to be the Airbnb they want it to be.
It looks nice. You know, not as nice as Air Force One, but nice. No. Super nice. And now a little something-something Ohio man. He's been accused of stealing hundreds of dollars worth of sex toys from an adult store on Saturday. His name is Joshua Millsap. He's 28. He's from LaGrange, Ohio. He was cited for misdemeanor theft. Police say at around 11 a.m. he allegedly shoplifted $336 worth of merchandise at a place called Cirilla's, an adult entertainment store. It's off the Midway Boulevard if you're in that neighborhood. Police say they caught up with Millsap after he left the store. Reports state he allegedly admitted to officers that he stole the items and cut an opening in his jacket to hide them. He was allegedly carrying a large knife on his hip, too, during the burglary. Seven items total were stolen, including two items priced at $99 each. according to the police department. All I can say with that story is, what a dick. All right, anyway, that's all. God, not a lot today.
Well, that's
sorry.
Not the only slitty cut.
Minimal. There we go. Yeah. Cirilla's. Just doesn't say. Sounds like you should get like a you know, spaghetti bolognese yeah. there when you're going
can
in.
Can I get a pepperoni?
Oh, my God. We got to take a little breaky here. When we come back, it's Soundtown, everybody.
Romeo and Juliet. Antony and Cleopatra. Bogey and Bacall. Add to that list another one of the world's greatest love stories. Mike and Carla O'Mara. Their love is like a red, red rose that's newly sprung in June. Their love is like the melody that's sweetly played in tune. And nowhere is that love story more on display than the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Yes, fall in love with love again and again with a Mike O'Mara Bonus Show subscription. Lovingly tap the banner at MikeO'MaraShow.com and order the TMOS Bonus Show today. You'll love it, just like Carla loves Mike.
Yes, she's a loud dish to her. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by Indochino. From weddings to work functions to weekends out on the town. Did you get your Indochino suit yet? Did you get the new one
yes.
yet?
Yes. I haven't been healthy enough to try it on and feel like I should be wearing the suit yet. But it came
tomorrow,
in.
We have to get to your health and find out that the rotavirus thing has yes. continued. So we'll get to that on tomorrow's show. It's always best to dress to impress, especially in clothes that fit your life perfectly. Indochino makes high-quality custom-fitted suits, shirts, and casual wear at surprisingly affordable prices. Indochino offers it all, and every piece is made to your exact measurements, and you can customize every detail. Plus, they're always adding new prices. So, I'm sorry, new pieces, not prices. Stop it, dummy. So you can stay on trend and in style. Check out their latest spring and summer collection. The best part? Indochino suits start from just $429. There's a price. And shirts begin at $79 with all customizations included. Oscar has used Indochino for years.
I
love my blue Indochino suit, and you're going to love yours this season. Dress to impress with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more by using promo code TMOS at Indochino.com. That's $50 off a purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com. Promo code TMOS, people.
Sound. What a sound.
Did you hear that?
Make some noise.
Sound Town, ladies and gentlemen. We have before you, something's going on. What do you have?
No, I just wanted to clarify. Tonight's Chris Rock show is in Boston at the Wilbur. Sold out.
Ooh, that is very, very interesting. Yes. We're going to have to wait and see what's happening with that. Time for Sound Town. We're sorry we're running so late today. This is a lady. The only thing I know about this story, walking by on the street, and I think the neighbor has been messing with her through their doorbell cam, and she finally gets sick of it. This will be the sound of two ladies talking to each other, and then someone ripping, well, the lady that was being annoyed by it, ripping the door cam off the door. This is what it sounds like.
Seriously, if not, I'm going to have to start slamming on the door. I'm not okay with that. No, you know what? I'm not okay with that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
What a great sound.
Isn't it? It's like, wonderful,
and
isn't
the, it? And I don't know if I have the arm strength to pull a Ring doorbell off.
Yeah, you gotta work at it. That's gotta be a lot of rage. You know, it's the theme of the world now. Rage is everywhere, yes. Oscar. That's the way it goes down. As far as Will Smith is concerned, more fallout with this. This is how Will's mamo feels about the situation with Will, which we're still all talking
he
about.
He is a very even people person. And that's the first time I've ever seen him go off. The first time in his lifetime. He's a people person, and he has never tried to, I'm going to do this to hurt you, just because. He's never been like that.
You know, it's mom. It's mom talking. You but know, they're out
this
there.
This goes back to this is that instance is not just what he said. It's been, and it's not just his history with Chris Rock. It's what and you know, I'm Monday morning quarterbacking this, but They've been giving so much. Their that talk show, the Red Table Talks.
Is that where that came from?
Has been giving so much ammunition, Mike.
Yeah.
To so many people, to take people off their pedestal. That when you give them that ammunition and it's used against you, you have to be prepared for it. But we have learned a couple things. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about Fight Club.
Right?
We know that. We've known that forever.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about Bruno. Pixar just taught us that. And now we don't talk about Jada.
Yeah. I guess we get it. Here, the thing about the whole deal, the modus operandi of celebritydom out there, in my humble opinion, Oscar, is the Clooney factor. You buy a spectacular place where no one knows you're there. Lake Como, and you go out of the country. You do. If you're at the Will Smith level of celebrity, you go out of the country and you just don't do the show where you're talking about how you feel and everything. There's
your wife,
you know,
with all due respect, getting down by some other dude.
It's not cool. But you're right. The ammunition is there. That's the way. And it's always yabby, 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 yabby. This is us. This is us. With the kids, too. You know, with the kids
that's a clinical
thrown
term
out
pony.
Into the, what's that?
It's a clinical term, Pony. Don't get upset about it.
Yes, very scientific.
Yes.
No, with the kids, too. With the kids being thrown out there all the time. That's you get that if you're in a situation like that. All right, let's get a palate cleanser for
Please.
That one. We're going to go old school for our last two clips that we have for you today. First of all, this is really, really old school because we're almost, we're in the age out deal with Star Trek, the old original TV series, which, by the way, if you went back to the original run, everybody's dead that watched Star Trek.
One guy just went
days.
To space. He barely made it back.
William Shatner, hey, in his 90s. But it all came, the Star Trek movies, all of it that came after is from that TV show. That wasn't
TNG.
A hit initially. And what's that?
TNG.
TNG. Star Trek was back in the day, Uhura and Chekhov and Sulu,
the
George
original.
Takei, who's still very active on social media. But the original cast was the, you know, the stirrer of the drink. Mm-hmm. And this is a montage for all you Doctor fans out there. Dr. McCoy, who was one of my favorite characters on Star Trek because he was so curmudgeon-y. And here's a montage for you Star Trek fans.
I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
I'm a doctor, not an engineer.
I'm a doctor, not a mechanic.
I'm a doctor, not an escalator.
Not a magician, just an old country doctor.
I'm a doctor, not a coal miner.
I'm the doctor around here.
It's Dr. McCoy.
What
was his name? Oh, my God. I've even forgotten the name. DeForest Kelly. That's why I wanted to remember because it was such a cool name. DeForest Kelly was the doctor. We are going to leave you today with, you know, throughout my career, I have been accused of loving a particular form of human behavior almost like a child. And it's true. I cop to it. We have been doing on the old Don and Mike show and throughout my career, we've been doing fart humor. Since fart humor has existed, my dad, God rest his soul, it still made us laugh. It made us laugh all the time. Back when we had that guy that had the handheld fart machine that was a total dick because we tried to rebook him after we had technical issues. He didn't come back on the show, but I still loved his little squeeze toy that made I laughed out loud. And I sit there with my son. It is the universal language of laughter. And every now and then, I will get a clip from one of my idols that comes into my lap, and I say to myself, oh, my God, this is it. And I never knew that this piece of comedy from my all-time favorite, George Carlin, existed. But George Carlin, who has been gone a few years right now, I will tell you this, that Carlin nailed it on this particular subject because it's still relevant today when he talks about farting and farting in public. If you haven't heard this, this is my gift to you as we wrap up the show today.
Do you ever have to fart on a bus or an airplane or in some public place, but you hadn't been farting all that day? So you didn't really know the nature of the beast. You only knew there was lots of it. In a situation like that, what you have to do is to release a test fart. You have to arrange to release quietly and in a carefully controlled manner, about 10 to 15% of the total fart, in order to determine if those around you can handle it. Or if in fact you may be about to precipitate a public health emergency. When releasing a test fart, it is often good to engage in an act of subterfuge, such as reaching for a magazine. Say, is that Golf Digest?
That is a...
That doesn't smell too hard.
That is George Carlin.
In an odd way,
oh,
it's rather
my
pleasant.
God. Oh. And then I killed the end of it again, because I do that. Because I have two different soundboards that I have to switch out here. God damn it, Michael. Really hate to mess up the end of the show. I might have a talking to myself tomorrow, you know? Why don't you just wait a little longer? Why do you always have to be so tight on your board? Why don't you just let the thing happen, you stupid ass? Anyway, thanks to Rob for coming on. That was fun talking to him.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful experience, and we hope Rob gets better. Please, please, please reach out. Any particular place we need them to, if people are confused as to where to go?
We've got an email.
Okay.
liver@michaelmarischow.com.
He will set it up as soon as the show's over. It's true, right?
Yes.
That's the one we go.
It's up and running.
liver@michaelmarischow.com. Pony!
Yes, Mike.
Smarten up tomorrow. Liver. Anyway, that's it. We got to get out of here. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana and Pony Boy Matt Bloom, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Sayonara, sucker.
Wow.
Pigeonhole!